Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 105. While you're turning there, had a chance to talk to our pastor yesterday morning, and making some progress. He said that therapist was able to get him laying flat on the table. So for the first time in a long time, he was completely straightened out. And he said it was kind of short-lived, but he said he was encouraged by it, by the fact that they could get him straightened out. But he sends his love to the congregation. It was his desire to be here this evening. But he just the trip and the movement, it's a lot. So as the Lord lays it on your heart, let's continue to keep Frank and Janet in our prayers. And, if a phone call or a card, just any kind of encouragement, I think he would he'd really appreciate, really enjoy right now. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. We'll end our reading there. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, Lord, for this opportunity to once again gather together, Lord, to worship thee, Lord, to hear more of our Savior. Lord, bless us with your presence here this morning. Lord, cause our hearts to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, grant it that we might know him and rest in him alone. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness. Lord, we thank thee that thou art sovereign in all things. Lord, cause us to bow to thee and rest in thee. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of trouble and difficulty, Lord, we pray you'd comfort and strengthen your people. Lord, encourage us through thy word. We pray thee. Lord, we pray especially for our pastor, Lord, that you might be pleased to heal his body. Lord, return him here to us to once again proclaim the truth of thy word. And Lord, all those people, Lord, who are in a time of difficulty, Lord, those who grieve, those with heavy hearts, Lord, you know the burdens of your people. Strengthen them, Lord. Cause us always to rest in thee. Now again, we thank you for this day. We pray again that you would be pleased to be among your people here this morning and in all places where thy gospel is preached. Bless the preaching and hearing of thy word. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Thank you, Trent. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now the word memorial in this verse of Scripture, it means a reminder. It means remembrance, to call something to remembrance. Every year, the last Monday of May, we observe Memorial Day. And you know, we enjoy picnics and parades and family gatherings on that particular day. And but the true purpose of it is to recognize and to honor those soldiers that have died serving our country. We remember those who served. Again, specifically those who died fighting to defend the freedoms we enjoy and the freedoms we often take for granted. I'm thankful. I'm thankful we have a day of remembrance. I think that's very important. But then I often think, why do we need to have a day of remembrance? Why don't we just do that all the time? That's pretty important, isn't it? Why isn't that something we just remember on our own? And the truth is, we're quick to forget, aren't we? We need to be reminded to remember things. We're so quick to forget. Do you still have the book of Exodus open? We just read verse 14 about a memorial. The children of Israel had been told to remember something. They were given a reminder here to remember something. So what's this memorial that we read of here in Exodus? Well, look beginning with verse 1. Again, of Exodus 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You'll take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you'll keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Lord had sent plague after plague upon the Egyptians. He turned the water to blood. He had sent those frogs and lice and flies and that disease, that murrain that killed the cattle. Boils, hail, locusts, darkness that could be felt. All these mighty works he sent, and each time Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And he refused to let the Egyptians leave. I'll not let them go. And back in Exodus 11, God told Moses, he said, I'm going to bring one more plague upon Egypt. And he said, afterwards, he'll surely thrust the children of Israel. He won't be able to get them out of there quick enough. God's going to send judgment. And in our text, we read of this Passover lamb, this which pictures our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the scriptures, Almighty God has used the Passover lamb to preach the whole doctrine of the gospel. God chose that lamb. We read that in John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The choice of the sacrifice. We see the characteristics of the Lamb. In 1 Peter 2:22, we read, "He did no sin. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He is the perfect sacrifice." That's been a topic of discussion here lately. He's the perfect sacrifice. That's what the scriptures declare. And that lamb had to die. The blood had to be shed. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, look beginning with verse 11. "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that's to say, not of this building, "neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" That lamb had to die. That lamb was to be eaten. And the men were to, by faith, to rest, believing Almighty God. In John chapter 6, we read, "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." And he says, "I'll raise him up." Our Lord said, "I'll raise him up at the last day." And the grand result of that sacrifice, the people were delivered. The people were delivered and God was glorified. Back there in Exodus chapter 12 again, look at verse 26. Exodus 12, verse 26. "It shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, 'What mean you by this service?' that ye shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses.'" And look what the people did. They bowed their head and they worshiped. They bowed their head and they worshiped him. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he said, "Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So quickly this morning, let's look at this Passover lamb. Let's look at what the people were called to remember. More importantly, let us look at Christ, our Passover. First, that lamb was to be without blemish. That lamb was to be absolutely perfect. We read in the scriptures that he was in all points tested, like we, yet without sin. He's the sinless Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read, "For he hath made him." Almighty God. We read that often, don't we? We should read that often. We need to be reminded of that often. "For he hath made him to be sin for us He who knew no sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. Made righteous. He must live a perfect life to atone for our sin. He can have no sin of His own. Leviticus 22:21 says it. This is what's said of the sacrifice. It must be perfect to be accepted. Back in our text in Exodus 12, look at verse 5. That lamb was to be taken out from among the sheep, taken from the fold. And in the same manner, our Lord Jesus Christ was taken from among men. He was made to be a man. In Deuteronomy, turn over to Deuteronomy 18. Look beginning at verse, let's read beginning with verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from where? From the midst of thee. From among thy brethren. Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. The Lord said to me, they have well spoken, they which have spoken, for I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren. He tells us again, I'm going to raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I'll command. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. He raised up the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, consider this, he's the seed of woman. He's the seed of Abraham. And he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He must be a man. He's the God man. Now turn back to Exodus 12. Look at verse 5 and 6. This lamb, it was a male of the first year. It had to be killed. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the full strength of his life, was put to death. He was made an offering for sin. That lamb had to be roasted with fire. Think about how the Lord Jesus Christ died. We can't even begin to enter into that. But Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The manner of his death. He was crucified. Not only did he bear the humiliation of man, saying all those things and treating him the way they did and doubting him and casting all those insults in their mouth. He bore the wrath of the Father for the sins of his people. The fire of God's wrath was poured out on him. We see people suffer, and we hate to see people suffer, don't we? Even we hate to see people suffer. But think of what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. The wrath of God for the sins of his people. That lamb was to be roasted whole. The Scriptures declare that not a bone would be broken. And then look at verse 7 of Exodus 12. The blood of the lamb was sprinkled upon the lintels and the side post. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That blood, his blood, there has to be a blood sacrifice. His blood had to be poured out. That blood has to be applied by faith. There is no salvation. There is no deliverance apart from faith. The scriptures declare that without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that believeth on me, he that believeth on the Son of God, hath everlasting life. God didn't put the blood on the door. He gave him the lamb. Huh? And that blood was precious blood. But by faith, they went out and they put that blood on the door. Why? Because it was some great work? No. Because they believed God. God told them, he said, take that blood and apply it to the door. And I don't know, in my mind, I imagine us in our pride, if we were back there, we'd probably be comparing, imagine neighbors. Boy, look how I put that blood on the door. I use this kind of brush. That's us by. But what happened? That blood was applied. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. They applied the blood to the door because they believed God. And that blood on the door is an outward confession. When you went by those houses, you knew where the children of Israel lived. That blood was on the door. Evidence of faith. That's what baptism is. Isn't that what when we confess the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism? It's an outward confession. Baptism is not what saves us. It's not the putting away of flesh, but it's an outward confession of who we believe, who we rest in. And then we read next that the Israelites were to eat the flesh of that lamb. By faith, we feed on Christ, believing Christ, receiving Christ. That's called eating his flesh and drinking his blood. We read that in the scriptures. When we eat something, it's because our body can't live without food. When we drink, we cannot live without water. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we rely completely on him. Without his flesh and his blood, we have no life. We must have Christ. Well, back in our text, Exodus 12, verse 8, eat that lamb. He said, eat that lamb with unleavened bread. Now, we're taught that leaven is a type of evil, a type of sin. And those who come to Christ, the true Passover, we come in truth, we come in sincerity, hating evil, hating hypocrisy. And they were to eat that lamb also with bitter herbs. We come to Christ in sorrow for our sin. David said, have mercy on me, O God. Christ, we come to him in sorrow for our sin. David said this. He said, my sin is ever before me. We come to him with repentance. What did David say? Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We read that lamb was to be eaten raw, not sodden at all with water, not to be eaten raw, not sodden with water, not boiled with wine, not boiled with water. There's no gravy. You know, we fix things at home and we make a little gravy to make it taste a little better. Well, that's not the case here. It's Christ and Christ alone. Nothing's to be added to make it better. Nothing can be added to make it better. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. He alone endured the wrath of God. He alone endured the judgment of God. Why? To justify his people. To take away our sin. And nothing can be added or mixed to it or joined together to it. He alone. Isn't that what the scripture says? He alone is my rock and my salvation. Verse 10. Nothing was to remain. We need Christ and Christ. And we need him in every portion of his work. We need him as prophet. priest, and king. I need him in all his person and work. And he instructed them to eat that Passover, dressed and ready to go, ready to leave Egypt. He said, with your loins girded, your shoes in your feet, and your staff in your hand, eat it in haste. This is the Lord's Passover. Egypt wasn't going to be their home for much longer. The Lord was going to bring them out. And this world, it's a temporary dwelling place. We're not going to be here. We're not going to be here forever. We're pilgrims, soldiers here for just a little while. And then one more verse. Look at Exodus 12:13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why it's called the Passover, isn't it? Huh? The Lord, when he sees the blood of that lamb, he passed over the people and they were delivered. And in the same manner, his judgment and wrath pass over us. How can that be? By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We read the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You'd think that would be easy to remember, wouldn't you? You would think we wouldn't have to be reminded too often of that. But the truth is, we do, don't we? How quickly we forget. You know, we don't like being reminded either sometimes. I think of our young ones when they get their driver's license. And they take that first trip out of the driveway, and we say things like, well, be careful. Drive safe. Watch that speed limit. And as kids, we get in the car and we say, why do they keep telling us that? And then you're driving down the road, and every so often there's a sign up that says 55 mile an hour. Just constant reminder. Why do I have to be reminded? And then what do? We look down there at the speedometer, and it's 70. We need to be reminded over and over again. Think about this. Consider this. God saved the children of Israel. Huh? That Passover. Can you imagine all the events leading up to that? That blood's applied to the door out there. And they went back in the house. They rested. Can you imagine when they woke up that next morning? Just, here I am. What God said was true. He delivered us. And you heard that wailing over there in Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. And not only did he part it, they walked through, just beyond imagination. They walked through on dry ground, wall on each side. He delivered them. And look at chapter 15, Exodus 15. After all this happened, after they seen this, listen to this song they sang. Look at verse 1 of Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, spake, saying, I'll sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath been thrown in the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He's my God. I'll prepare him an habitation. My father's God. I'll exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottoms of stone. The right hand of the Lord has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as in a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I'll pursue, I'll overtake, I'll divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I'll draw my sword, my hand shall destroy him. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O God? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. What they had seen, and they sang that song together. And then just in a short amount of time, look at the very next chapter. Look at Exodus 16. Think what they'd seen all those plagues. And not only had they seen those plagues in Goshen, when there was darkness throughout the land, they had light in their house. They had seen how God had separated them from the Egyptians, had delivered them from the Egyptians. They sang that song rejoicing. And then look at Exodus 16, verse 1 through 3. They took their journey from Elim. All the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation, all of them, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, listen to this, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full, for you brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. One minute they were talking about his mercy, his redemption, his strength, his deliverance. And the very next breath, he should have just killed us in Egypt. At least we had bread to eat there. Isn't that us? Isn't that every one of us by nature? Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. I won't have you read there. We looked at this Wednesday night. But the Lord had said, be careful. When I bring you into that land, you're going to have houses that you didn't build. You're going to have cisterns that you didn't dig. You're going to have gardens that you didn't plant. Beware. Beware lest you forget what I've done for you. And oh, may he be pleased to remind us the pit from which we've been digged. To cause us to remember that God determined to save a people. God chose a lamb. And he sacrificed that lamb, a perfect sacrifice. And that lamb died and that blood was shed. And we're completely dependent on that lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grand result of it? We're delivered. God is to be exalted. He said, this day shall be a memorial. And listen, despite this fact, that we will forget. We'll continue to forget. And we must be reminded He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. Psalm 103 verse 14 says this. He remembers that we're dust. He knows how we're made. And he should. He made us, didn't he? Huh? We're his people. He knows everything about us. He knows our down sitting and our uprising. He knows, David said, you know my thought afar off. You know it before I even think it. He remembers his people. He will not forget his people. Turn with me to just a few more scriptures here. Look at Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, beginning with verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, this was Zion's answer, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Is there anything more tender than to imagine a mother holding that little infant child in her arms? I can't think of anything more tender than that. That infant, the love of that mother, and that infant is completely dependent on the mother. Can do nothing. The mother feeds that child. The mother holds that child, keeps it warm. All these things. And he says, he uses that illustration, and he said, could a mother forget that child? And she may. She may. Over in Ezekiel, we read about that little infant cast out into the open field. It's possible. It's as hard as it is to imagine that a mother could forget her little infant child. It is possible. And we've seen that happen. But listen. Look at verse 15. He says, yea, they may forget any number of circumstances. But he says this, yet I won't forget. I will not forget. Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. And the Lord replies, I will not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. His hands. His hands. The very hand which those nails were driven. Our names, in the song, our names are written in his hands. We're bound up in his hands. He said, I'll not forget thee. Boy, that's a promise we can hang on to, isn't it? David said, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He will not forget his people. And listen, he will not forget his covenant, his promise. Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of his father, which he sware unto them. Consider this promise. God, who cannot lie, He will not forget His covenant. Over in Romans 11, we read, "And so all Israel shall be saved. God's elect shall be saved. As it's written, they'll come out of Zion, and the deliverer shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant." He said, I'll not forget my covenant. This is my covenant. This is my promise. I'll take away their sins. I'll save them. And listen, he says, I'll not forget my people. I'll not forget my covenant. We're told to remember. We see what the scriptures declare about our Savior, who He is, what He did, why He did it, where He is now. He remembers His covenant. And though we forget, we're prone to forget, we're prone to wander, He remembers His covenant, and He remembers His people. And then just one last thing, how thankful we are. There is one thing He will not remember. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll finish here. Hebrews chapter 10. Look, Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days. I'll put my law into their hearts, and their minds I'll write them. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Because of the sacrifice of our Redeemer, all the sins of His people are taken away. They're put away. They're forgiven. They're remembered no more. You know, those Old Testament sacrifices, there was a remembrance of sin with every sacrifice. But now, He hath appeared to put away our sin. He said, I'll remember it. I'll remember it no more. All right. May God be pleased to bless His word. Dismissed.